Is this job what you expected it to be?
Where you stand depends on where you sit. And I don't care what anyone says. Until you're sitting in the seat, you don't understand the magnitude of the responsibility. I served as a legislator in Harrisburg, a legislative leader in Harrisburg when I was chair of the Philadelphia delegation and chief negotiator in my chamber for Philadelphia issues. I got a chance to work closely as the majority leader with one of the best council presidents in this city's history, and Council President Darrell Clark. Watch Kenny, Nutter, Street, Rendell. I even go back to President Joe Coleman. You don't know what it's like until you've been here and you feel it.
What surprised you?
The amount and number of very complex issues, some of them legacy, like meaning there have been issues like throughout administrations that are not dealt with publicly, sometimes because the law requires that it's done a certain way. Those updates, I'm thinking now about, and I won't go into too much detail about them, but I'm thinking about some of the social and human services issues that the mayor is required by law to directly be briefed on and sign off on and acknowledge. Horrifying issues. And publicly, the public doesn't consume it, you know, and that's something I never knew about, right? Because a mayor doesn't, you don't talk about it, because according to the way the law is written and you get these briefings, you get them, and that's it. But it's painful.
So a lot of people are very excited to have a woman mayor finally, but what I think is interesting is that you're the first mom mayor, and I think that's a very different role from a dad. And I'm wondering if you're finding it hard to juggle.
I will tell you that I could not be a mom mayor without the village I have, the village of people who are around me. My former husband, who is, been amazing. He's, you know, I joke now, he and I talk, and I'm like, yeah, where was this before the divorce? This person, right? But he is, he's like my number one partner in everything that I do. I'm in caring for Langston, but also in trying to juggle it all. Langston's grandmother, his godmother, like my friends, like they, when they know, especially when it's something like consistent that takes multiple days, they just, it's like a swarm, and they form a circle, and they make it work. Right. And I'm really grateful for that, because I wouldn't. And let's remember this. Being a mom to me, and my son is 12, so he's right at that tween. He's about July 15th next year. He's 13. And everything associated with that that parents know about is all happening. I am not exempt from it. So by far, being a mom is more challenging than being a mayor, right? So being a mom, that because it's, and it's also because there's so many other external elements, external to even the familial structure, you have no control over social media, what children are consuming, what they learn and know so early compared to, you know, I'm like, well, we were still playing Steal the Bacon and kickball in the driveway. We weren't asking questions, you know, like this, because a lot of this stuff we didn't know. But now, with the World Wide Web and YouTube and TikTok, and, you know, so you try to discipline your children as much as you can to limit what they have access to, but you don't know what their friends have access to, what they hear, you know. So being a mom is by far the most, not just important, but the most essential role that I play. And ensuring that being mayor is not prioritized over my being a mom, and trying to juggle that. You can't, you can't do it alone. You have to have people with you there. And I'm grateful and I'm proud of my village.
Yeah, do you, all those factors that you mentioned, going, you know, working on tweens and teens today, has it influenced your policies?
1,001%, Pat. Remember when we're on the campaign trail, I started thinking about that concept of year-round and children whose families aren't taking vacations in the summer or spring break, Christmas break. You know, they're not, you know, everybody's not growing up like the Beaver family on Leave It to Beaver, or, you know, the Cosby family on The Cosby Show. And how do you control to make sure you support those young people to give them a fighting chance? Because in essence, that was me. But in being a mom, it just reinforces why it's necessary. So most children who are fortunate enough to have a very active family, children are scheduled today. And they're overscheduled when you want to keep them engaged in different activities. And what I always, and this is how it's influenced the policy, what about the child or children who don't have anyone scheduling for them? So that's the purpose of trying to make those supports and services readily available in the space and place where they spend more time in activities, which is school, than anywhere else, and the rec centers and the little league. So think of extended day, extended year, the pot of funding for the youth little leagues. So that's what my real life lived experience, then my experience being a mom, all of that comes into play. And yes, it does. And even when some people don't understand it, you know, I'll be very honest with you. If you want to tee me off, call Extended Day, Extended Year, my pet project. And, you know, that is frustrating, but I just say to myself, to calm myself down and to not, like, be bothered by the criticism, I say, those people don't know what real life is like. That's why to them, they can just be pet projects, because they don't get it, how essential they are.
So I'm going to stay with Langston for a minute. He was on the stage with you election night. I've run into him on some weekend events. How does he feel about the limelight?
If you, that first night, you know, when a lot of people were coming over to me to give me a hug or to shake my hand, if you paid attention to Langston, he was looking at people like really strange, like, who is this hugging my mom? Why are you touching, why are you touching my mother? And we had a reception upstairs, and then I was supposed to go downstairs to the party. And definitely wasn't a child-friendly environment because it was all big, you know, adults. And so we're walking through so Langston can get something to eat, because obviously I'm not going home to cook. And so he was the security guard. And so that's what he says sometimes, like, I'm a part of my mom's security. So, but he is also very underwhelmed by it all. And seeing my son be a kid when we are bowling. We took a day, I forget what holiday it was, and I was like, you know what? I know I had a ton of places to go, but I'm not going. And, you know, we did golf and then we did bowling, which I'm terrible at. And he was just happy. You know, we were eating junk food. He was pleased, but he's very underwhelmed about the public part of it all. But, you know, we're managing. It's very important for me that his life remains as normal as possible. You know, you're my son, I'm your mother. You know, there is nothing, you know, different about us. Your dad's your dad, and that's it. So we work very hard trying to keep that in perspective for him. Because look, if you look at, and I thank God for the mayors who I'm a part of the Bloomberg Harvard, you know, New Mayor's Initiative. We went through the New Mayor's School. They have a city leadership initiative, and having the veteran mayors come back and talk to us about the impact of being mayor on the family, especially when you have children. I'm grateful for that, like, sage wisdom and guidance and advice that only another mayor, you know, could give you. And the Council President Johnson and I, we also talk about the impact that these roles have on our families. And, you know, it's always like, you know, whatever you do, make sure you make time because you don't get this back. You know, so I'm also really sensitive about that part.
Yeah, it must be really hard.
Yeah.
Would you want him to follow in your footsteps and go into politics?
This is what he knows about me. I hate bullies. Bullies of all kind. I'm talking when you're in school, a bigger kid, a kid just trying to push you around because you're smaller or, you know, not as strong as they are that, but, you know, bullies from an economic perspective, you know, somebody who's pretty well off, treating somebody who is not at the same socioeconomic status different, you know. I don't like any of it. And so I hope that if there is something about me that he consumes or it becomes a part of him, it's his ability to stand up for other people. That's something that I hope he takes on. But I really hope, this is where I hope he's the opposite of his mom. And he's pretty good with math. He's a consummate reader. But I hope he does something like with technology, because I'm like a dinosaur and I don't understand any of it, but I love the coding. And so I don't know what he'll end up doing. You know, he's trying a lot of different things now, but and if politics is his way, but I doubt it, because I'm a very communicative person. And you have to like pull out of him, what are you thinking or what are you feeling? So from that perspective, I don't think he will. But I hope he does something where he helps other people.
One trait of you as mayor is that you never back down. And it has really worked for you. It's actually quite impressive. But it comes with risk. And I wonder if it ever scares you?
I would argue when people say, Pat, like that I don't back down, they don't see the behind the scenes. And what it's taken to get to whatever the decision-making point is, because most of the time, I am not where I started. So, you know, people say, well, this is the perspective, but they don't know. The council president and I have talked, and he said no on this, and he said yes on this, or he said no, go in a different direction. Or my team, my subject matter experts, I know this is where you want to go, but this is how the process works, and this is what we can do legally, and this is where we can stretch. And so it's not always my way. The encampments. That's a perfect example for me.
Kensington?
Where you, and now, no, not just Kensington, but we've had other encampments at different places. And for me, you know, remember, you have to be responsive to people. It's what I learned in Marion Tasco's office, my boss. Fix it. Now. Immediately. Well, we have an encampment resolution. There's a process. You have to give notice. You have to do public postings. It's a process. So you just can't say street, sanitation, police, L&I, go right now and just, it doesn't work that way. And how do I know? Because from the law department to all of the leaders of all of those departments, when we get in this room where you and I are sitting right now and we walk through and we're going through a deck, and they're showing me the precedent, they're giving me the portion of the law that governs what it is I'm trying to do, then I say, well, I can't go and do it immediately. These are the steps that I have to take before I go. And whether you like it or not, Mayor Sherelle Parker, this is the law. And you have to abide by it. So it's not always my way. It's not at all. by the time we get to the point where I've made a decision, a public decision on the issue, we haven't seen how where I started, to be quite honest.
So can we talk about your binders? I mean, that is something different about you. I've never seen a mayor use them quite so ubiquitously. And
you want me to tell you who's responsible?
Sure.
Lady named Mary Jane Wiggins. Dwight had the Community Development Corporation arm of my neighborhood that fixed up Ogontz Avenue. It was called ORC. I was a part of a group called Friends of ORC. And I went to the planning meeting where all of the committee chairs would report. And I had my folders. And Mary Jane Wiggins said, "Folder? What happens if you lose some of this documentation in your folder? How are you going to maintain whatever you have? This is not organized." And she said, "Where's your binder?" And they made it seem like I was like E.T. because I didn't have a binder. From that day forward, every project would have a binder. And Marion Tasco, so that was Mary Jane, but Marion Tasco would end up saying, "What would happen if you get hit by a Mack truck?" That was Tasco saying. "How are we going to continue with whatever the effort was?" So everything always had to be organized. But it was also about not hoarding information. Information is power. I've watched people who are responsible for executing, they will sometimes sabotage activity because they will hoard the information and not share it with people around the table. Well, if you have a binder and you keep all of your binders together, anybody can go get it, read the correspondence, read, you know, and that's how you keep it together. I need structure, right? How do you eat the elephant one bite at a time, right? It's pieces. If not, the elephant is so big you can't, one bite at a time. So you have to keep things, compartmentalize things in order to get through them so that you're not overwhelmed by the whole, the pressure of being the mayor. Is it a lot of pressure? Yes, but the pressure is a privilege, and I ask for it. So, and now that I'm here, you're never going to hear me complain about it, but I'm human. Do things get, "Oh, but wow, it's such a whole lot"? Absolutely. But that's how I manage it. Otherwise, I don't know how anybody else could function. I couldn't do it.
So what's in your binder today?
So today, I had to start with signing. I signed all of the bills formally and officially signed. This is not a stamp. Council President, I have to sign. Law Department, we just signed all of the 76ers arena legislation, the end of year transfer ordinance, and leave benefits. So I signed all of those. Prepared with all of my notes. You see my for this interview, all of my top lines of issues that I have talked about, so I don't get frazzled. Now, it becomes difficult for me because you started with personal. That's when I become a little vulnerable. And then it's like, all right, hell, she gut punched me. I got, you know, not gut punched me, but you gave me something I wasn't prepared for, you know, and that happens as well. And that's a part of it. So we just, and after this, what am I going to do? I'm going to deliver my gifts for folks who work in this building. Uh-huh. Who you never see on the television, who nobody ever talks to because they're not executives and they don't run a department. They're the people who provide the services in this building. And I'm going to hand deliver these gifts to those people because they keep me together.
Oh, that's lovely. So those were all my questions. Is there anything you'd like to add?
The only thing that I really want the people of the city to know, and this is important to me, that I did not promise perfection. But I committed that if they gave me the privilege of leading this city, serving as the CEO of Philadelphia, I would use every tool that I had to make good on the commitments, the public commitments that I made. And we're trying to get there. We're doing the best we can with what we have. When you hear me say One Philly, a united city, it's like a comedian. I hear people laughing about it because they hear me say it so much, but nothing about it is going to change because here, that's my permanent binder in my brain. Everything that I do is going to be working towards that goal. And this holiday season, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful to the people for giving me a chance, and I want them to know I'm doing the very best that I can. We're not perfect, but I want them to know I'm trying. And we have the best and the brightest people we could find who share in our vision, Philadelphia. That's why we wouldn't rush to just throw it all together, because to bring people on who didn't share in the vision, that would have been a recipe for disaster. So we're doing the best we can, and I feel good about the team. I'm grateful for them, all of our municipal employees who do this work every day, hard work, you know, and don't get recognized for it. I'm grateful to them, and the best is yet to come for our city. I'm committed to that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thank you all.